April Health Commission meeting. Lynn Enns is out tonight, and I'm filling in for her. My name is Jan Hicks. I haven't done this for a while, so I could be a little rusty. If I make any mistakes, just let me know. I'll make sure to let you speak. First order of business is approving the minutes of March 10th. Commissioner Odell has a motion on the floor that we approve these minutes. Do we have a second?
A second.
Second by Ed Serena and Dan Livingston. Next order of business is public comment. Anyone wishing to speak on any? Oh, thank you, Ed. Okay, I'm going to back up and start over. I am a little rusty. We need to take a vote for everyone to decide whether or not we'd like to approve the March 10th minutes as written and seconded, first and seconded by our president. May I take a roll call? All in approval? Anyone not in approval? Okay, I believe we have passed and we've approved the minutes. Thank you very much, Eric, again. Next order of business is public comment, and this is for anyone desiring to speak on any issues not on the agenda. First call to order will be Eric Green. Please come to the podium and state your name.
I am Eric Green, and I'm glad to see you sitting in the chair's position, and I know it's going to rest well on you. This mantle that you're just wearing. Anyway, I am Eric Greening, and I know I have some thoughts on how the budget issues ought to be approached that I presume will open up to the public at the appropriate time later in the meeting, so I will hold those for now. I have been glad to see the Health Commission over the years gradually step outside of directly giving advice to the Health Department solely on Health Department issues and weighing in on planning issues. Working with the planning department, the council of governments, and other entities when issues that are not necessarily being moved forward in the health department's court are still being spoken of. Things like working on obesity prevention through having comments on the parks and recreation plan and so on. I would hope it would become more and more habitual for you to raise issues on projects and decisions that will be in front of the board supervising whether they are health department items or not. I know you can't take action collectively on one that's on the board's agenda tomorrow, but I just wanted to raise the profile of that issue because there are significant health implications. Tomorrow afternoon, they will receive a status report on the Oceano Dunes, and specifically the county-owned property on the dunes, which is being used by the state of California as part of their vehicle recreation area. It's essentially being managed the same as the state land. Most people don't even know where the boundaries are or the boundaries of the inholdings area. But the health implications of the decision, which will be in front of the board, which is whether allow the state two more years on this county property. The sale is sort of in the distant future possibly, but the continued use, the continued lease by the state, the continued use by the state for two more years is on their agenda. They will be making a decision. And the health implications obviously include impact on our emergency room. There is quite a rate of death and injury in this place. There are problems with the sanitation there and essentially an unregulated living area of people who are camping out there in undesignated spots, maybe using restrooms, how the restrooms handle the environment around them. And then, of course, another issue that hasn't been talked about enough is the air quality impact of the constant loosening sand on the people downwind and in the Napomo area particularly. I recommend that you visit a website called Safe, Deep, and Do
approved that population, that they were being screened and given direction about where they could be treated. So I'm definitely interested in the proposal. I think that, you know, we definitely want to do this.
Any other comments? Any other questions? Thank you.
Have you talked to anybody as far as, I was just thinking, one of the things that might help to lend credibility in the medical community here is to get maybe a prominent physician or a couple of prominent physicians that are well known in the area on board. And have you done any talks like that? I was just thinking personally about maybe the medical society has, or, you know, just trying to reach out to the medical community to at least help start to get garner some support in that area.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on anything not on the agenda tonight? Okay, going forward, we're going to have our first speaker, Ms. Del McGee. I am really torn a thousand here. Medical Services Act, Prevention and Early Intervention. It's a new funding program, Prop 63, and she is the project planner. About the first component of Prop 63, which is called community
what is the 1.3 million doesn't sound like an awful lot of money. What is the huge amount, and I'm thinking, is it going to be part of a screening program? Are there going to be specific providers set up to deal with these particular populations? I mean, I guess I'm trying to put the cart before the horse, but it helps me to conceptualize the entire program.
Thank you.
difficult thing once you get down to that and then to award the contract. Because there's going to be so many, as you pointed out, it's going to be a tough job. The whole time is a tough job. Dale, you make it sound relatively easy. But it isn't, and it's hard for us.
Processes that you've gone through, both this one and the previous one. I don't know if you can answer this or not, but at the state level and the county level for mental health in general, has all the student input had some effect in looking at programs and how they're done and the fact that we've been doing things the same old way for so many years? Is there been another benefit from this other than just the pop? $150,000 was awarded. state or anybody put a limit, say, on the administrative cost?
Thank you.
did occur is that Jeff Ham was there. Thank you very much, Jeff. Also, the government takers. Basically, the members wanted of the commission that attended wanted to know what the process was, as well as content in terms of the proposed 50-cent cut. And Mr. Ham did present the committee members with a list of proposed, a rank ordered list of proposed budget cuts, which we did view. However, at the onset of the meeting, we decided to, since we are health commission members, see drug and alcohol and mental health issues we did not actually review or discuss, as we felt it more as a purview of the commission to focus on health-related issues in terms of cuts. So that is what we did. There was quite a lengthy discussion that I won't go into detail about in terms of what the process was, the information in the proposed cut. And basically, I think it was the consensus of the members there that with the explanation provided by Mr. Ham, it looked like the cuts made sense in terms of the rank ordering. Our primary concerns were with the ombudsperson cut. Basically, that being not only the position and the work that has been done, but the knowledge that has been garnered in the years that position has been effective, and the loss of that knowledge was a primary concern, and we did discuss that at some length, and decided that that was probably our number one concern with the proposed cut. So that's in an outline, in a nutshell outline we did for the meeting. If there are any specific questions from the commissioners, any feedback, I don't know how much we've been able to go into the proposed cut, but that's basically what the committee did discuss, and that's where we're at right now.
We have Commissioner O'Dell.
Before we discuss that, I'd like to hear from Jeff Ham what's the current situation as you see it right now. Where are we?
Jeff Ham, Health Agency Director. The one thing I think I might add, just to sort of put the thing in context and to address Mr. O'Dell's question, budget hearings are June 16th, the week of June 16th. That leaves you, besides tonight, two more meetings. Should you choose to get into a specific discussion about any of the particular items and service level reductions that have made it into the top of the list, just to recap very, very briefly from presentations that I've made in previous commission meetings, we submitted a status quo budget. The level of increase in general fund support from this year to next to maintain the status quo budget was about $2.5 million. We had, like all departments, develop a list of possible service level reductions, and it was our charge to place them in order, relative order. And we tried very hard to do a good job of that. Once the CAO's office, County Administrative Office staff, had all the information that they needed to put the budget together in all part, we found out just last week, I think it was the week after the pledge slash budget committee meeting, so last week we found out CAO's recommended level of funding would require a $1.5 million reduction from our status quo. $1.5 million. The other way to put it is the $1 million increase from this year to next year. So while it's not a good budget to have the 18, and I forwarded actually Gene forwards all of you a copy of the refined list of service level reduction, and I hope you have an opportunity to look at it. If you didn't, I only have one extra copy of it. So we now know what will be in the county administrative office recommended budget for 08-09. And again, while it's not a good proposed recommended budget has 18 service level deduction items. The last two were added, and there was, you know, I think in a list that you saw, there was a list called the microbiologist, and that ended up being the only filled position of the 12 positions that we were needing to eliminate. And we, one of the things that I think it's important for folks to realize is, even though we now know what programs are not funded in what will be the recommended budget once it's published and made available for public review, you all saw the longer list that we had to develop. And if we imagine the Board of Supervisors adopting the recommended budget, we will still probably be in a fairly anxious situation as we wait for the state budget process to conclude. Everyone suspects it will be a laborious process, and it will be probably August or September when the state budget is finally adopted. There are fairly significant further reductions in funding categories in the county embedded in what was the governor's proposal in January. But we'll know in the May revise what the governor is continuing to propose as a method of balancing, you know, bridging that gap in the state budget. But even then, the governor's May revise goes to the, there already is, both on the both houses of the state legislature, budget committee dealing with the governor's proposed budget. So that process of debating the, you know, the various alternative courses of action the state can take to balance the budget will be ongoing through July and up through August. We'll need to maintain our list. The hiring process will continue in effect. So we're really, while sort of relative good news that we're, the state is recommending $1 million increase to our funding support for the health agency for next year, we're still going to have to be very careful about filling positions, not only for waiting for the state budget to be adopted in August, but then we'll be into the fall and we'll already be worrying about 2009-10. So it'll be an ongoing process for the next couple of months, the next year or year and a half. So that's the context I wanted to provide. We can certainly respond to any specific questions. I can respond privately to any specific questions you have, either about the ombudsman or about the likely reduction in the county grant award amount to community health centers in New Mexico for medical care services to county patients, or any of the other items on here.
I'll just open it up to questions from the commissioners.
I know that a lot of our discussion revolves around the community health center reduction of $500,000 and also the elimination of the office assistance program. And knowing now that that is under the is a contract with DOT, have you gotten feedback from Biz or Lillian Judd about that program disappearing? Are there concerns with EOC? Are there comments that you've heard? Should we ask them to talk to us? Enlighten me.
Short answer, no. Haven't been contacted by Biz or Lillian. I think when we went into the arrangement with them, it was generally recognized that the party that it was county money and that contracting with DOC to provide the services cost effective. Folks
said most of them are vacant, with the exception of one, I guess,
we can assume they're all of them will be vacant by the time they're eliminated. I'm not trying to understand your question.
The workload.
Will stop providing service.
Completely.
Yeah.
So it won't be absorbed by anyone else in the department?
That's correct.
Did I understand correctly that the medical microbiology is not in the separation?
That's correct.
Would the county administrator change that or what?
Work with Jeff, our analyst, and staff at the CAO's office to swap a couple positions that were vacant that were the next things down on the list. That you see down here as the last two items. A half-time administrative assistant that was providing discussion and outline public health sites, and a three-quarter time supervisor public health nurse position that was vacant in the health department. We knew we were not going to be able to fill those positions because they were high on what was going to be our remaining list. And in the interest of not laying off a microbiologist, that I think within 4 months, reorder those items. So there is still a microbiologist position in the public health lab that's definitely at risk. And if for whatever reason one of our existing microbiologists decided that they wanted to retire or they jackpot or specialty for any other reason, we would eliminate the
position. We would have a staff recommendation.
Dr. Beebe pointed out that Scotty has some excess capacity. Ordinarily something that we very interested in assuming, but we didn't want to layer off the
attempt. I thought I heard you say that all of the positions that are under the nine right here that are on the cut list are vacant with the exception of the one part time. Does that include the ombuds person?
We talk about our employees, the positions that are our employees, and Barry is an employee of UMD. Now, we happen to know that she's already made other employment, so they feel good about it. They feel good about that.
Other questions?
Yeah, I didn't bring the paperwork in with me tonight, but when we were talking about FENCAL before, isn't that part of the contract with them that they provide a person, ultimately be some kind of a person that people can go to as a type of ombudsman?
Community Health Center.
Through Community Health Center?
There is nothing in our contract with them that obligates them to have a person designated to perform those services.
What about with FENCAL?
Well, FENCAL Health, as the Medi-Cal managed care provider, has very well developed member services program. And for Medi-Cal beneficiaries who have concerns or complaints or whatever, they have a well-published number to call, and I would expect their the level of service for Medi-Cal beneficiaries with those types of concerns and complaints will increase dramatically as a result of FENCAL Health.
So there may be a small portion of people who are not Medi-Cal that might have some difficulties, but at least the FENCAL phone will not be without these services.
That's a very good point. Looking at Mary's statistics, the ombudsman's statistics for last fiscal year, for last year, which we had complete information, the total number of folks that she helped had interacted with and then helped find whatever they needed, about a third were unsponsored. So the self-pay, light detail, eligible type folks. The rest fall into one of those categories that there will be some number for them to physical, going to get their primary care needs met early on rather than just deferring or putting it off or not going at all and hoping they get better. All those things are great. And we've done a tremendous job, I think, in our through this collaborative relationship that we have with CHC through the first 4 years of the agreement. I just don't think it's possible not to have that rate of growth start to level out a little bit, given, at least for this year and for the budget years 08-09 and 09-10, until the county can recover from, the county and the state can recover from the plan.
This is true. They cannot refuse anybody.
That is true.
Yeah. So their only possibility is setback answer.
They have grown dramatically, and they will have to slow that down or take a step back. They'll have to shrink their capacity, and they've told us for the $500,000, they'll shrink by 2 providers and about 9,000 patients.
That's close to it.
Well, they have suggested that they would, on their list of things that they would do, they officially notified us that the first thing that they would do is close what they call Morro Bay 1. They have 2 clinical addresses. We were just told last week that they have pretty much already done that. They moved most of the staff who were providing services in the smaller facilities in Morro Bay into the modular behind the public health department that they were, I think they call it Morro Bay 2. So they've already done that. Now they've suggested that the next thing they would have to do is close the Cambria plant. But if the Board of Supervisors adopts the CAO's recommended budget, the only thing that that sets is the dollar amount. $4.9 million. Then we would sit down and we would attempt to reach an agreement on modifications to our contract that would allow us to move forward and continue to have a relationship with one another. So they're going to be very concerned about many things, but at that point in time, the dollar amount for 08-09 won't be a variable anymore. That would be the one thing we know. They'll want a long-term extension. I'm sure we'll have very, very interesting conversations about how we decide how to adjust the grant amount in subsequent years in that longer term relationship. There are some sites that they have to maintain under the terms of our existing contract. Cambria is one of them. So they're going to have to convince us that closing Cambria is acceptable. If Cambria had been a clinic that they opened up after year 3 or 4, because they thought it was a good idea and it wasn't included as part of what the county obligated them to do, then they could just do it without even agreeing to it. We would have an opportunity to agree or disagree with contract language negotiations because it would have been something that they added on their own. But because Cambria is not one of those things, it might be a very difficult thing for us to agree to, given the North Coast and the nature of the population So how they go about shrinking to some degree is going to be subject to future departments.
For the years that we pumped extra money into the ailing hospital and the clinic system, what county funds did that money come from? Where did that come from?
General fund contributions going to Medicare delivery by millions. recommended 4.9 million next year is going to continue to be a target for reduction in the immediate future, because the county is still investing a very considerable amount of discretionary general fund money in the delivery of primary medical care services to unsponsored individuals. And it's been a great thing, but it was a great thing for as long as it was, because the county can afford to do it. And we're under a lot of pressure now to ensure that the dollars that are being spent are, well, I don't know how to say, challenged the board is going to face when they go to adopt the budget. They're going to be a lot of we certainly can speak to the value of the dollars that we spend on private medical.
After, when we go into the budget cycle of 09-10 and say the county coffers are up, does that money automatically go back to CHC, or is that going to give you a new baseline for negotiations now that, oh, you survived the $500,000, how much more can you have? Does your baseline change now that this $500,000 is going to be saved off your contract?
Yeah, I would say there really is no baseline. As I mentioned, the negotiations that will ensue once the board adopts the budget, because they may adopt it at the recommended level of funding from the CHC, we will attempt to reach agreement on modifications to the contract. They'll want an extension because we will only have 1 year left. We'll be into July, but we'll be into the last year. And we'll agree that there should be an extension of term out some number of years. But the only way you can really do that is to also agree on the financial characteristics of the agreement over the term. When we entered into the contract originally, really two contractors, the pharmacy contractor and the pharmacy contractor, there's an inflationary index in each one. And then wait until, I think, April, Department of Labor statistics, statistical indices come out, and that drives the adjustment in our compensation provisions of the contract for the next fiscal year. The difficult discussion is going to be, how do we adjust the grant amount? We know 09, we know 08, 09, but the board has set it. I'm not sure. It's going to be a very interesting set of negotiations to talk about 09-10. They're probably going to start out saying, okay, this is a terrible $500,000 reduction. Can you make a poll next year? Can you give it, can you put it back? And we're going to say, no, yeah. Does everyone expect 09-10 to be equally challenging? And I don't hear anybody often talking about the county coffers being full out until 10-11 or further. So they'll probably ask for an increase. We'll probably say we don't think we can agree to that. They'll say, okay, well, what about an inflationary adjustment for years, the new years, 3, 4, 5? I'm going to say, well, for 09-10, I don't know. That's going to be a difficult thing to commit to. Look at what just happened to us this year. So it's wide open.
And what if they don't agree with you and say we just want out of this contract?
Then we take our $4.9 million and we go shopping for a different contractor. I don't imagine that that's going to happen, but if we don't have an agreement with them, we don't have an agreement with them.
I agree with you, Justin, and I know that this is a hard cut. It's a very hard cut, I think, for a majority of people that are sitting on this commission, because we've watched over time as the hospital is closed and the clinics have been farmed out to CHC, and we've seen some progress. We've seen growth. We've seen people covered. We've got a safety net system where we get a report if, you know, somebody's not being taken care of. And I understand that, you know, they're going to be have to be agreeable to that $500,000 cut probably for the next 2 years. But I guess my concern is that going forward after 09-10, that if the county start to become whole again, that a high tide raises all the boats, and, you know, is that something that CHP can put into the contract or the extension of the contract that some of these dollars are revisited as time goes forward and finances improve?
I'm guessing they will make every effort to do that. And we will be engaged, we staff will be engaged in these kinds of conversations with the health commission on an ongoing basis, probably for the next several years. You'll have every opportunity to make recommendations both to the health agency staff as well as the board about that various funding level for primary medical care.
And I guess my last comment has to do with the Ombuds program. Would it be okay with you if we asked Lillian or Ms. Steinberg to come in and talk to the commission about the cutting of the Ombuds prison program and their perspective on it?
One more. The last discussion has been very hypothetical. And let's go another hypothetical. We have national health insurance. So they're going to.
And when the governor and Speaker Nunez were working so hard not too long ago on their bill for health care reform in California, the implications for our relationship with the CDC were striking. Changed everything.
All right, do we have any more health insurance questions? I'd like to open this up to the audience. Anyone wishing to speak, please come to the podium. Please state your name for the record.
Eric Greening, and obviously this is a great time. Last year, the department agreed not to go at issue. We had a nice, quiet board budget hearing. They basically took what the CEO recommended, and we're living with that. This year, it looks like we're setting up for the same thing. And certainly, it makes for a more efficient, swift budget hearing with surface harmony. What is missing when this happens is public education. I think the public needs to hear the department ask for what they truly believe they need. If the board is not able to meet those needs, they need to hear the board make that painful decision in public. The public needs to be part of the solution, either through letting its clear priorities be known in the process with what we have, or willingly coming forward as part of a revenue solution. One way or the other, we should not hide the ugliness of the present situation from the public. Now, I know that, as I say, it would be hard for a department not to go with a certain culture of not asking for what you need that's been established all hear the real needs and hear whether they're met or not. This is not a criticism of the people who've been going through the list and making the painful decisions. Probably there will be cuts. Probably the real needs will not be met. The work you're doing to prioritize is probably very valuable. But we are doing the public and the people in need no favor if we simply stop there and let the budget hearings be quiet. They should not be quiet. They should not be easy. And what they should be is educational, however painful that is. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. This is an action item. I don't know if the person has an action item on this tonight, but it is listed as an action item. I would like to have discussion on whether or not this is something you would like to vote upon or not. Mr. Hetherington?
I would propose that we wait. You know, I think having EOC comment, you know, there's some things that we didn't talk about, like the dual diagnosis program for children up in North County. There's some drug and alcohol services that are going to be cut in North County. You know, I think we need to let this come out a little bit.
Mr. Warren?
Yes, I agree with that too. And I just wanted to clear something up here because as Jeff talked about this, that these positions were all vacant, right? And I already know that North County prison's already been transferred into another job. So that actual program has been eliminated. But the CHC contract, those positions are all actively working. So that's an exception to being a position that's not filled. And so we have to remember that, too, that one position is actively working, and the others are unfilled positions.
Any other comments? I would like to thank you for your explanation of everything, because when I first looked at the list, I just thought, whoa. And some of the positions I thought that about as well, but your explanation perfectly made sense, and I appreciate you taking the time to explain all of that. And I did read the impact. I wasn't aware that all of these positions were unfilled, except for the ones that we just discussed, so I would like to thank you for that. Next item on our agenda is the Health Agency Director Health Officer Report. You're back on stage.
Friday.
are you doing any outreach out there as far as the general public, like maybe an article in the paper, so people that are maybe living next to these construction sites where they're working? What I'm envisioning is perhaps through the permitting process in the various communities, that there be a brochure given to them that, you know, that there's got to be some notification of surrounding residences or, you know, possibly school sites that, you know, once these people are identified with Valley Fever, that there's a broader audience that is educated. But I guess what I want to know is that, you know, if the guy down the street is building a house and his workers are getting sick, like in this little excerpt, that, you know, there's some notification to the broader community or neighborhood that this has been identified and watched for these symptoms.
Carry, but
And that was real helpful because it was like, well, yeah, there was a bottle and a post and there was one here, and everybody kind of panicked. But when you actually saw the maps and where they were, I think that alleviated some of the fear. The report does not report mortality. Just suppose what you're guiding us with.
Projects in this county.
Drug and Alcohol Steering, so each of the members getting very familiar and doing site visits and talking to the program managers and even visiting some of the programs to get more of a feel for what they're actually doing for the there are
on the mental health board, we're dealing with the same thing, just like this test, and we have a meeting, I'm sure you know, learn more about it.
I was not able to attend the government policy committee, but I really have a great month and support for both. Thank you. Do you have anything?
I attended the Domestic Violence Task Force on March 19th. Happy to report that there's an increase in women's groups in both North and South County. There's now three groups, one covering North and one South County. I don't want to say funny, but it's odd that there's such a lack of communication between departments. And, you know, not only what Deborah said about finding out at the public health fair how many people haven't interacted or haven't had a relationship enough to know what services are out there. Same thing happens in domestic violence. And, you know, departments don't talk to other departments. You know, the prosecutors need to be trained a certain way, and the you know, people that do the counseling need to be trained a certain way. And those dialogues are starting to happen. So, you know, I'm happy to report that and thank you for this question. Thank you.
I just wanted to quickly talk about a master's thesis out of UCSD that talked about, that looked at the pharmaceuticals and wastewater. It was given to me a couple of months ago. Then I looked at it, we had talked a lot about pharmaceuticals and the wastewater, and their report was pretty much what we had talked about. There was really not a lot we could do. There's no systems out there that can help the general public dispose of pharmaceuticals. It is a real problem. As a matter of fact, right after they came out with the report, there was an 18 report that went across the country talking about drugs in the groundwater. They talked about, the 18 report talked about it coming as excretion through the body. They didn't talk a lot about dumping it into the wastewater, but there really is a major problem. What they did talk about, this master thesis was looking at maybe there's a way they could actually recycle drugs. Their plan when they stepped out is, maybe we can get these drugs before they go down the toilet. Let's just bring them and give them to people. They found out right away that just wasn't going to happen. First of all, you can't. There was going to be no consistency in what's available. And also, you don't know what you're getting if you're almost in the toilet, but no, we're going to give it to somebody, or where it's been stored. So that quickly went out. And basically, what they said is that the problem with collecting pharmaceuticals, you have to take out the controlled substances. So controlled substances have to be really only police officers can accept controlled substances. And it's such a bad system that if we wanted to in this county have a hazardous waste pickup, we couldn't collect controlled substances. The DEA still says the best way to deal with controlled substances is dump them down the drain. And so they talk about it as being we need some major law changes. We need to have the DEA give us some exemptions where we can actually accept that controlled substances. And we need systems of collecting and disposing of exemptions. They touch quickly on the real endpoint, and that endpoint is really something that I've been pushing for, and that's having the pharmaceutical company actually be responsible for the drugs, just like we do with our radioactive drugs in the hospital. When a company makes a radioactive drug, they're responsible from birth to death of that. And so whatever the hospital or radiology department doesn't use, they have to take back and have to dispose of it. And pharmaceuticals Locally, there's really not a lot we can do. There's one pharmacy in town that will accept drugs and dispose of it, and that's about it. We still have to work, hopefully, in getting the laws changed and working maybe with our recycling, with our hazardous waste.
I both of us have a question. You know how hospitals, and I'm thinking of Wampoke District right now, they have that big thing out the front where it's anonymous, put whatever you want in this box, and no one will...
Yeah, we have the same thing in town.
Well, can you put your drugs in there?
You know, we have a box, I'm sure Wampoke is the same way. It gets good stuff. You can't, you could with your foot, you could just fill with good stuff. The police department is the only one that has access.
Our next item is committee reports, and the first thing on our agenda is legislative. That would be interesting. I think we had our update from our last meeting.
I think
we
probably did.
Community education, which I believe is... And we have a possible discussion, possible action. I mean, not possible discussion. Discussion, possible action. We
met about a week and a half ago, and I think we don't want to lose sight of the drugs down the drain. We want to keep on top of that. I think our flyer is now on the webpage. But the committee decided that what we would like to tackle in this coming year is getting our webpage up to speed, make sure that we've got, current things, not 2-year-old things. I think, too, what we talked about during public health was we're doing another survey, but we didn't have enough time to do a survey, get it back to the commission, and have it approved. So what we would like to propose tonight is that one of the things we put on our webpage, and maybe for next year's health fair, which I hope I'll be in touch with, is what healthcare issues concern people most, and see if we can get some public feedback about issues, and that may direct us in our agendas for the coming year. We also wanted to try and do better about media outreach and do a better job at community education in areas like maybe like drug and alcohol and mental health, so that we're kind of a full service. So I think what we wanted to do tonight is see if you are all okay with putting that simple question on our website about what we do and what we are.
Do we have any discussion on this item? Vote? Sounds like unanimous.
We have to do a motion.
Whoa, I'm sorry. Did you want to?
Okay, you ready to go?
We have certain topics.
Do you
want to go over and vote?
Yeah, I think some of the things we wanted to put on there, but we didn't want to, direct it to things like vaccines, Medi-Cal and Sen-Cal, fluoridation, universal health care, autism, medication, disposal medication costs, and then alignment of others. And that can be refined through suggestions from the commission. But that was what the committee came up with as far as line items.
We would put a survey on our website. We'd probably put it on the main page on the public health website. When people came on, they could see that there's a survey that's being taken by the health commission, and they can just provide their input right on. Well, I could. All I have to do is draft up the thing, and I can have it put on there. It would be a pretty simple thing. Kind of like the mental health survey. It's done on there.
And the results would go back to you, right? And then we would tally them from that one.
I would with our.
Then I think they could come to the community ed committee. Survey on the web page with the question, what healthcare issues concern you the most? And we can put the list that I just read off. We can change that list over time by voting at a health to do that. But I think it's important that we have that other line so that if there's something that we're not listing in this list, people feel free to fill in the blank. Is that clear to me?
Yes, it's clear. We have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Anyone opposed? Motion accepted.
I think we got one.
Budget. Is that also the exchange? Budget. Who's budget? Whoever's not here? Oh, Rob, I guess. Rob is not here, so he will not have an update on budget. Nominating committee, we have started that process. We do have two consumer-based
vacancies that will be available starting July 1st. It is a four-year term, and in the event there's someone in the audience that might be interested, or someone in our TV viewing audience, our application process is, our deadline is the 21st of April. So far, you guys are going to be so happy on this very often. We've sent out 5 applications. We have 2 to pick them up via the internet. We will be setting up meetings in May for the 2 recommendations that we make. And I will be getting in touch with the nominating committee as soon as we hear more from our applicants and setting up those meetings. It will be a chore by itself. We've been trying to get everybody scheduled together. But we will have that all ready for the June meeting along with the recommendations for officers for next year. Commissioner Heather,
I guess my concern, we have people ready to move into those system of positions, is that correct?
Yes, and we've had a discussion, and I will discuss what we did have a discussion about. I want to speak to the other members. It was Commissioner Odell suggesting that we re-interview those people and get a ranking of those people so that we, depending on which ones apply in this particular category, we do them all at once, get them all ranked so that they're the people that have been waiting, you know, as alternatives, we have them at least all ranked and set. And it will be an open meeting, just so you know that, we will be posting that, we'll be part of the brand. But it will be based on acceptance of the
No, I do, because I don't think we've ever ranked them. We've just, you know, as they are deemed alternate, that they just move into the spot without a ranking.
Well, right now we have at least 5 or 6 consumers that should be filling those spots, which is why we felt it would be better to re-interview them rather than just go pull one out of the hat. And if you have other suggestions, this is all open for discussion. I just felt it was only fair to come in. We have our discussion here, and then I'll call you. I just thought it was fair to people that have been in that alternate spot for several years. Some of them may not be interested anymore, some of them may have moved from the area. Some of them, you know, may be ready. When we have 2 consumer openings, and we just thought we wanted to do it the most diplomatic, democratic way, and if that's not the best way that you think that, please.
No, I'm not questioning that. I guess I'm questioning a ranking. You know, when you're ranking, you're
well, we would do
kind of like a criteria.
Well, but we would do it the systematic way that we ask questions in the past. So we gave, you know, 5, 4, 5, 4. In the past, all we've ever done is this person is acceptable. But, you know, and we're open to suggestions. You know, we are a committee that's made up of all of us. We are open to suggestions.
I just wanted to make sure that we weren't, you know, doing something different going forward. That, you know, we were doing the same questions that were originally done.
And we will be using the same questions.
No, I thought we were going to have further discussion before we actually resolve what our process is.
And
I
we
don't
are
think that says this point. Not
we will be speaking to the rest of the audience. Anybody else have any questions, concerns? Commissioner Donner?
I just need clarification. So you're going to re-interview the 5 alternates that are for the consumer position.
And any subsequent new applicants.
And then new applicants. Now, are the alternates, the 5 alternates, going to get priority over moving on to the commission over the 2 new applicants?
We haven't had that discussion yet, and that's a very good question as well. I didn't want to make any decisions until I spoke with all the members of our nominating committee.
But this is a discussion, so I can give my opinion.
Absolutely. No, you can give your opinion because we want to be fair. We have the discussion. Why are we going through this process when we already have people? But we've gone through this process every single year. So definitely, please give us your thoughts.
Well, having been an alternate in the past, I mean, I think that you've already voiced your. I mean, I do agree with the fact that you should contact them and see if they're still interested in doing it. But once they've been found acceptable to be on the commission, I would think that the people that have been sitting as an alternate, isn't that what an alternate is about? Get the position prior to new people coming in.
you agree with the process, because every year I've been in charge of this committee, all we've done is add more applications to the pile, which is not a bad thing, because if one person's not available, we go to the next person. And if the rest of the nominating committee is in agreement with that, that's what I will make the recommendation on that report. Jesse, you had a comment that you wanted to make? Last but not least, just prospective future items. Our chair is not here with her handy-dandy book. Always, when I had physicals at hospitals, they would always do skin tests. We had one for TB and we had one for costume. Dr. Thomas told us, I guess, years ago they quit doing that because they didn't find it to be reliable. But that was always part of our physical, no matter where you work, if you worked in the valley. Mr. O'Dell?
Well, that would be an item for next meeting.
Yeah, we'll see what we can
do. To have a presentation of the education program.
Well, I think it's an excellent educational program, and the process of I don't want to use the word epidemic, but the Department of Health Services considers anything more than two an epidemic, so we have more than two.
Okay, the other thing, I thought we were going to have somebody from the OC come to the but...
Okay, no, I'll put that down too. Any other suggestions or comments? I will be happy to entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. Well, I think I need to take a vote.
Second.
Oh, we have a second? All in favor? Thank you for putting up with me.